This is The Traverse Cityist, a podcast about the people that create the culture in and around Traverse City, Michigan. I'm Gretchen Carr, creator, producer, and host. This episode of The Traverse Cityist was brought to you by Flow, for love of water is a Great Lakes law and policy center working to defend your rights to water and preserve this extraordinary natural resource. Grounded in the principle of water as a public trust, Flow's mission is to keep the Great Lakes healthy, public, and protected for all, for generations to come.
Ojawasco Wasimokakwe, Indishnakaz, Nimki Indodum, San Felipe, Parepucha, Inde Apache, Lightning People, Yaqui, Indonjaba. I'm what they would call a southern relative who grew up here in Michigan. I'm actually also a person from the north that went south. I'm simply here to help with the water. Been just grateful that now there's a growing body of law that incorporates Anishinaabe values and culture, because the world needs it. There are places around the Great Lakes that do promote that in a really good way, but it feels like it's more open now. And of course, when you look at when we were allowed to practice our religion and our culture, that didn't become legal until I was in high school. I think that's why we hear it more often now, and we hear it in that beautiful, firm voice rather than kind of the whisper that it might have been before. Do it for a show. They don't do it for anything but that sense of duty and responsibility as humans for the water and as women for the water. And without that, we couldn't do what we're doing. And I'm eternally grateful for that.
That is Holly T. Bird. Holly is an attorney and educator. And she is speaking of the women that sing to the water. It is a Sunday afternoon in mid-March. I'm at the west bank of Cedar Lake in southern Leelanau County.
So we see an eagle first. Well, first there were two loons that were swimming, and then there was the loon that flew.
Yeah, right by.
Right by us. And then we can see.
Yeah.
In the water. Yeah, and then the water was doing that.
Some bubbles.
The water always responds, it seems.
Yeah.
She always does something, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right by her, she'll make waves. Or
it's snowing. The air is crisp. With me and Holly are four women, all members of the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians.
My
other name is Eva Potoski, and I am a citizen of the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians. I'm Anishinaabe Kwe, and I'm an elder, and the loons and the eagles came to join us, so it's a good day and a good gathering.
Ani Gazibio Gichna Ikwe Indishnakas Pshabitown Indida Mishikan in Dodum. My English name is Carol Ann, and yeah, I'm here to celebrate the water, and I'm here to learn from my elders and just women in general that I look up to as mentors and to help guide me along my journey of learning, and yeah, just, you know, give my thanks.
Ani Duju, Ozawa Anukwe, Intijnakas Mixino Dam, Wadawa Nishnabe Kwe and Dao, Wikwedong and Donjaba. Hello, my name's Tina Frankenberger. I am a member of the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians, and hope that I can be able to help to give some insight to help others that may want to learn more about the water.
Buju, Wabanasikwe and Dishnakas, Giniwindo Dem, Odawa, Nishnabi Kwayinda, Kichu Kwedong in Donjaba, Peshawi Town in Dida. My name is Joanne, and here with other Anishinaabe Kwewag to share our thoughts and to answer questions about our relationship as Anishinaabe Kwe with water, and to help in some way maybe bring a bigger understanding of the water and who she is and the relationship that we all have with her.
I've asked Holly, Eva, Carol Ann, Tina, and Joanne to speak about their relationships with the water. Each woman has been and is currently doing work for the water, whether it is through offering prayers and song, teaching and raising the consciousness of others, or working with law and policy. Carol Ann Sondreger is Director of Policy for FLO.
I always used to tell my mom and family that I was going to grow up to be a mermaid because I wanted to live in the water. I was convinced I was going to grow up to be a mermaid.
Well, maybe you have.
Yeah, I kind of am. Sorry, I just...
Her name. Yes. I hope you tell them and explain. That's you.
What is your name? I heard it, but I wasn't.
Yeah, Gazibio Gichnaikwe. So it's kind of like the warrior of the water woman, or a river woman chief. So really my name allows me to have a voice for the water as I learn from my, you know, the, like Joanne has, you know, taught me a lot about my name, so... But, and it, you know, it's funny that my name is something that allows me to have a voice for the water, because I'm in a really unique position working at FLO where, you know, I'm able to take this tribal ecological knowledge that I have with me and bring it to the table as a policy director, so I get to really merge two worlds together, where at my Anishinaabe side, I can bring that and use Western law to incorporate our view. So that way, when we're making laws and policy and we're writing best management practices, I can make sure that I'm incorporating our Anishinaabe way into it. You know, I'm very grateful to be working at FLO and to have that opportunity. I think that it's just an incredibly powerful thing for our community to have somebody that is in a position like this and able to be a voice for the water. So I guess in a way I'm living up to my name, my given name.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really awesome. And though you're not a mermaid, you are sort of.
Yeah, I'm as close as I'm going to get.
Joanne Cook serves as chief judge for the tribal court and maintains a busy teaching schedule.
I think the other thing that's so exciting about that is that we have a young person who followed her heart in her education, but also had that spiritual connection to water and her name, and so the work that she's doing now, so that ensures that this will carry on into the future. And it brings like joy, and it helps us then to trust and know that the future is stepping up and moving up, and so then everyone's doing their part in their work. So yeah, it's beautiful.
Joanne carries on the traditions of the late grandmother Josephine. She was one of the founding members of the Water Protectors Movement. During her 77 years, she has walked about 25,000 miles around the shorelines of all the Great Lakes and other waterways of North America, carrying a bucket of water to bring awareness to the need to protect the waters from pollution. The legacy of Grandmother Josephine lives on in Joanne, and she is happy to see that legacy carry on through Carol Ann.
You know, we have to go back to Grandma Josephine Abun, you know, who really began this, you know, 20 years ago, the awareness and the prayers and bringing it out, you know, and it was Anishinaabe, non-Anishinaabe, men and women, everybody, you know, thinking, praying, talking about the water and trying to help her heal. And so you have Grandma Josephine Abun, that generation, and then you have the generation of women under that, and then now you have, you know, Carol Ann's generation, and so, and then there's even younger, so there's four generations already that this knowledge, you know, this spiritual knowledge is being passed down to and ensuring, you know, that it goes into the future.
Joanne also reminds us of Dr. Masuro Emoto, who is famous for his studies with water.
Dr. Emoto's study was about water and the crystals in the water. And what he did is he had like three different tubs of water. And one he spoke positive to, one he ignored, and the other one he spoke negative to. And then what he did is he studied and he looked at all three of those. And the one that he spoke positive to and sent positive energy to, the water just naturally multiplied, crystallized, and as if it was like rejuvenating itself. And he was so he studied the effects of it, and what happens when you just ignore it, and then when you speak negative. And so the Anishinaabe, a lot of Anishinaabe were happy to see that, because in our relationship with her, because she is a being, she is a spirit. And so then that study confirms what we have always known as Anishinaabe.
In our heavy coats, we are nestled into camping chairs, sipping hot tea, and looking out over the lake, listening. Here again is Eva Petoskey.
One of the things I've noticed over time, living so close to the lake, if you think about it, we live out on this peninsula. We're so surrounded by water. It's nearly like living on an island on the Leelanau Peninsula. There's so much that goes on in the water that oftentimes we're not aware of it. And in this area, there are so many big stones that are underneath the water, and these big grandfathers that are under there too, and that's part of her energy. Even in that physical realm where all of the beings live, there's a conversation that goes on and songs that are sung amongst them that mostly we don't hear. But I hear that every so often. I don't necessarily hear it exactly like we would think of in the physical, but an awareness, to be aware that there's all of this going on. And even though we do need to pray for her, if we all went away, it would, the water would just be restored.
Tina Frankenberger is always in awe of the restorative power of the water.
The one thing that I definitely reflect on is the place that I feel most at peace and at home is on and near the water. And when people ask me what it is I want to do or to go, you know, have fun, or, you know, like recently it's been dating, you know, what do you want to do for a date? I'm like, I don't know, but if we're on or near the water, it's okay. You know, I'm like, that's pretty well an in for me. And it's like reflecting back, like remembering as a kid, you know, I know when we've talked about this, you know, being children, we all remember this, being like, you know, people called us water babies. Mm-hmm. It was like we just wanted to be in the water and people couldn't get us out. And, you know, the other kids, their lips would be all blue and they'd be shivering. And it's like, you know, we were going at it and we weren't shivering, our lips weren't blue, and we weren't happy when we had to be pulled out of the water. And I can remember whether it was coming north and coming over that last big hill when you come into Traverse City and you see the bay, and just the way I can remember my entire life, that just singing to my heart and my soul, that the happiness and joy that brought to me. Or even, you know, when I lived down by, you know, north of Grand Rapids growing up, it's like my parents tried to multiple times a week take us out to Lake Michigan, you know, and same thing. It was like, wasn't a big of a hill, but you come over just before the state park in Muskegon and you just come through that little opening and all of a sudden the water's there. And it's just that feeling that it brings over you. And, you know, I mean, so many people know this, can relate to it. I mean, you talk about the fishermen. I mean, even non-native people, it's like, you know, people have a bad day. What does a guy want to do? He wants to go get out in his fishing boat and sit on the water. Doesn't even care if he catches any fish. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really has a power to bring us back to our happy place. And I realized even if I didn't say a word, my entire day was fixed just by being out here, like right now.
We all have days that can go sideways. And thankfully, we have our rivers and our lakes. They are there when we need them. Tina is grateful for her connection to the water.
The answer is always go outside. You know, I think about how many times that I've been feeling like my life was needing direction, or I didn't know which way to go and I couldn't think my way through it. And going out to the bay and sitting on the beach, sometimes even when it's like we're out here right now when it's cold and the frozen water, the snow is coming down on us. And I can think of how many times I've sat out there with nobody around and it's near blizzard conditions, sitting on the edge of the bay, talking to the water, even before I knew how to talk to the water. I just did it. And it was talking through it and asking for that help, asking for that healing, asking to know what the next right step was. And it's just realizing that I've had that connection my entire life, even though for a while I didn't realize I did. I know when I was young, I had it. We all had it when we were young. But then you know, you become a teenager and you step away from it. And we talk about how some of us, you know, in our lifetime, we weren't even allowed to practice our traditional ways. It was against the law to do so. So therefore, our grandparents and our parents didn't talk about ceremony, because it was something they didn't talk about, or maybe some did and they were lucky to get bits and pieces here and there. But it's to realize we always had that connection. We never lost it, and how powerful it is.
What can we do to protect the water and all she has to offer? Tina suggests a first step.
This is my opinion, my experience, is be open. Like, just say that to yourself. If you know nothing else, just say, I'm open to being tuned in. I want to open my heart. I want to open up myself, whatever it is, however it is that you want to do that.
Joanne reminds us of the many local organizations that are working to protect our water. Organizations like Flow.
Some of the other things people can do is learn that water song and go to the water and sing it, or at least go to the water and greet the water. And really, it's just you know, that living in the Great Lakes region, and there's enough organizations locally that you can call them and ask them, what is the need? What can I do or in the alternative, what do I need to know and become aware of?
Carol Ann and Eva echo.
It's a funny thing because we do need to, we need to protect the water, but who are we protecting it from? Is us, ourselves. So I think that we need accountability. We need to hold ourselves accountable. And then also, you know, we need to hold others accountable. We need to hold big business, corporations, lawmakers. We need to hold everyone accountable because, like all of these lovely ladies here have already said, we need the water. The water doesn't need us.
And we could get line 5 out of the straits.
Yeah.
Or out of the state entirely.
Entirely.
Because
out
it's
of the
it's
Great Lakes.
Out of the yes, away
gone
from
gone completely.
Lakes. Yes, definitely.
Finally, Holly asks the question.
So who is the dependent here? Right? That is our sacred relative, one of our most sacred relatives next to air, next to earth. Mm-hmm. And it's good for people to reestablish their relationships with the water in that viewpoint. And so once you start thinking, I think, in that way, because the Anishinaabe have grown up that way, you know, from a young age, understanding that.
I'm Gretchen Carr. Thank you for listening to The Traverse Cityist. This episode of The Traverse Cityist was brought to you by Flo. For Love of Water is a Great Lakes law and policy center working to defend your rights to water and preserve this extraordinary natural resource. Grounded in the principle of water as a public trust, Flo's mission is to keep the Great Lakes healthy, public, and protected for all for generations to come.